We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank, your partner in possible. Coming up, the latest on the Kansas Jayhawks from KCSN, which features three shows each week in Border War, hosted by former Jayhawks guard Jeff Hawkins and Mizzou forward Jarrett Sutton. Ain't No Seats with Ryan Reinhardt, Anthony Bax, and Braden Turner. And Booth Review, covering Jayhawks football with Kent Swanson and weekly special guests. Make sure to hit that follow button so you don't miss anything. Stay up to date on all things KU with KCSN. And now, the latest on the Kansas Jayhawks.
All right, folks, there is more options to do banking now more than ever. Who you work with is more important than how close they are to your home. M-Prize Bank, we talk about them all the time. They are a presenting sponsor. M-Prize has digital banking that meets you where you are, on your phone, on your computer, or even your smartwatch. A trusted partner at your fingertips. Shout out M-Prize Bank. We appreciate them and love them. But let's get into the episode, boys. We got a fun one today because I think for the first time, maybe not first time, but it's been a really good three-week stretch for the Kansas basketball Jayhawks. And we may talk a little football later, but we may reserve that for next week. But we got to talk this KU Indiana game because it really was, I expected a close one. I expected it to be one of those, not classic, but just one of those Allen Fieldhouse games where the opposing crowd showed up, and we'll talk a little more about that. But like, I really felt like it was going to be a really, really close, good game. I felt like we were a bad matchup again. Like, I felt like they were a tough matchup for us. But man, we came out swinging, knocked them down early, and they never really recovered. It was just an extremely fun 40 minutes of basketball where we really never had to stress. And I think Jeff Goodman, our guy Jeff Goodman, we like to make fun.
Likes the Hawks.
But he tweeted, hey, I've seen enough. This Kansas team can repeat. And I do think these last couple weeks have, for the first time, started to open my eyes and say, hey, it can be done. So, V-Turn, I guess I'll start with you. What were your initial reactions from the game Saturday? Where are you at with this team? Do we need to slow down, temper expectations, or are we fair to be as juiced as we are following this three game stretch?
I think we should be as juiced as possible, and I think we were a little skeptical of the Mizzou performance. We played insanely well on both ends, and we weren't sure how good Mizzou was. They were 9-0, but they hadn't played anyone. We go in there, win by 30, talked about how they dropped us in the polls, which was crazy. I don't know if that motivated them against Indiana, but yeah. Trace Jackson Davis, one of the best players in the country. I expected it to be a good game. And if you tell me before the game that Jalen Wilson was going to be Jalen Wilson, not only one of the best scorers, not only the best scorer on the team, but one of the best in the country, was 4 of 18. I would have said it's going to be Tennessee all over again. We'd probably get blown out. But the fact that we won by 22 at the Fieldhouse and our best player was 4 of 18 is insane to me. I've said it last week. We have he might be the best facilitator in the country in DeJuan Harris. You got three really good scores around him, and then a guy that's really shown how good he could be in his potential in KJ Adams over the last two games. So, yeah, I think I feel really good about this team, and I think they're as good as anyone in the country, and I don't know why anyone would argue that at this point.
I love picturing AB at home every time KJ Adams scores, just going nuts. Just like, just being like, I said that. I said he'd be the guy.
Like, that's what I do every time.
I mean, it's still really, really hard. And I mean, we don't have to get into all the details of the five position because it's been kind of, to me, an exhausting topic. But it is great. I mean, KJ Adams is a sophomore that did not play a ton of minutes last year. I mean, he came in, he played defense, but to see how quickly he's taken a step forward this year is super exciting. But the thing that kind of stood out to me is it felt like I said at the beginning of this episode, Trayce Jackson-Davis was supposed to be a nightmare matchup for him. And that was supposed to be the game where it's like, okay, this is where your glaring weakness shows up. KJ can't play a 6'7" center against this type of center. And I remember turning to my dad while we were sitting there in Allen Fieldhouse, and I'm like, when's the last time Jackson Davis touched the ball? Like, I don't know if it was our scheme. I don't know if it was KJ completely, but it was crazy how early in that game he was just non-existent and allowed us to get out to that lead and never really look back. So, I mean, I'm starting to – I've been saying all year, I don't think we can make a Final Four, win a natty with KJ at the five, but, like, how sick would it be if Bill can – you know, Bill went from the high-low guy playing two bigs. Then he transitions to four guards last year, four round one. What if he just ran it back and ran five guards and we end up winning the natty? Would that be – would that solidify him as, like, a top three coach of all time, AB?
Yeah, I mean, it would have to. How many coaches have three championships, I guess, and then back-to-back is – I mean, you could go back to Wooden, I guess, but it's like Billy Donovan and that's it in this era? Unless I'm just forgetting someone.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
yeah. Does Billy Donovan have three titles? He does have three titles, doesn't he?
I think two, right?
No, I meant back-to-back.
Yeah.
Like, teams to go back-to-back since, like, the UCLA Wooden days. Like, how many have there actually been? Is it literally just Florida? So, yeah, you went back-to-back to get your third overall championship. Like, that's going to put you toward the top of a lot of lists. So, I full-blown agree with you. And it'll put him in the conversation with your guy, Coach K. Obviously, Coach K has more, but, you know, you get two, maybe you get a fourth down the road, and then it's kind of like a discussion at least, which would be fun for us and our Twitter fingers that we love to spout off every evening.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's more so what I love about what we're seeing is I think there was a stretch from, like, I don't know, what was it, 2013 to 2017, where we struggled to make Final Fours, we were losing the Elite Eight. I don't know. It felt like people were starting to maybe say Bill was too stubborn, right? People were mad Cliff Alexander wasn't getting more minutes, and people were mad that Check the Aloe wasn't getting more minutes. And, like, it felt like there was this stress that Bill wasn't willing to adapt, which is what Kentucky fans are going through now. But then you look at where we've come and the fact that we're starting KJ Adams at the five and it's working and Bill's letting it happen. Like, it is crazy how he's kind of just loosened up, and I think it's almost in a way made him better. Like, I don't know if he just opened up to that. I don't know if the staff got in his ear, but it is crazy to think how different these KU teams look than the way they looked even, 6 years ago, when we were playing Perry and Landon Lucas together. So, I don't know. Bill's just – he's on quite the heater right now, and I'm excited to keep
and that's, going. That's why I wanted to talk about him in depth, because he's just – he's unbelievable, man. And I talked about it Saturday to my friends. Like, it's insane how – obviously we've had some teams that aren't as good as other teams defensively, but he finds a way to get his teams to buy in defensively every single year, no matter what. At some point, they look – Tennessee obviously didn't score a ton of points in Bahamas, but early in the year, we were not very good defensively. Tennessee had a ton of wide open looks in that championship game in the Bahamas. They get back from the Bahamas and they're just so good defensively. Seton Hall couldn't do much. Obviously Indiana on Saturday, and it shows Bill Self's prep. You got one player you need to stop. Obviously Indiana has a ton of talent. They have a guy that coached in the NBA, but shows you how good Bill is just from a preparation standpoint, getting his guys to buy in, getting to do certain things. But Bill Self's the best. And like you said, he's winning playing different styles. Like, he can adjust, he can adapt. He is stubborn no matter what, but I've not taken any coach in the country over him, and it's just crazy how much better they've progressed defensively, but how much I think they're going to get even better throughout the year defensively, because we have the personnel to do it. Even KJ at the five, who he's us at, we know how big of a how much of a freak he is athletically. So him, DeJuan, Kevin McCuller, Grady. Did you see Grady playing defense on Saturday? Grady was awesome defensively, and he had kind of sucked all year. And they got him bought in. So
I said this Saturday, and maybe it just felt like it, but I felt like we intercepted more passes, like cross-court passes and fast break passes, than like ever. Like, I would love somebody to run the stats on that and just talk about, like, Kevin McCuller is so good at that. DeJuan's obviously good at that. But it was, and KJ's good at it, but like, it's great. I don't know if it was just Indiana being bad, or it is exciting, kind of like you said, that we've just got guys that are so bought in defensively. And this is normally the time of the year where Phil Self's calling us soft, saying we don't guard. I'm sure we're going to have a game where we suck and Twitter melts down again. But AB, I think maybe me and you talked about this. Doesn't it feel like this team, it's weird to say this, this team is like ahead of schedule, or like almost playing better right now than last year's team was playing at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, isn't that very fair to say? I know last year's team had, you know, we looked really good against Michigan State, but we lose to Dayton. I can't really remember what happened after that, but can't remember the rest of our non-con. But I don't know. It feels like this team is maybe playing at a higher level than last year's team was heading into Christmas break or whatever.
Which is crazy. You said ahead of schedule compared to last year's team, but just like in terms of our thoughts going into this year, Grady's been, for the most part, awesome from the jump. Like, he has his moments where he disappears, but God, dude, I've come to expect this. Like, with Bill Self freshman, it just usually takes some time. And that's kind of what I was expecting with him, especially with how he just looks kind of like a goofy, lanky kid. And then he goes out there and he's like the best player on the court half the time he's out there. So his immediate success on top of KJ improving and DeJuan improving and Jalen improving, it's just like, I didn't expect to see this until late February, like going into Big 12 tournament, something like that. To see it before Christmas is like mind-blowing to me.
And like, is McCuller sneaky the best transfer that didn't have to sit out a year we've ever had? Like, I know we haven't had a ton of those, but like Tarik Black, he had his struggles. He defensively, he was always in foul trouble because I just don't think he could. You know, Isaiah Moss was fine, but McCuller's definitely playing at a higher level than Isaiah Moss.
Someone helped us win a national title last year, but he wasn't good all year.
But McCuller's ahead of Remy Martin. Yeah. Like, that's kind of my point, is like McCuller and, to AB's point, Grady Dick have both just kind of been planted into our lineups where you normally see growing pains and a weight where you don't see the immediate impact, where those dudes have both had huge impact so far. McCuller gets better every game, I feel like. And that's super exciting, because I do think his offense is a big factor on what this team can do in March too. If he's not scoring, I think we are going to struggle in a lot of games, but he's been scoring. So it's exciting.
Can I bring this up while we're talking about March just for a sec?
Yes.
So I texted you, Rye. Brayden, I don't think I told you, so I'm going to ask you as a question. What is the last defending national champion to get past the Sweet 16? Like, which team did that last?
I can't even remember who you said.
It's crazy and it's concerning, boys.
Is it, it's, that much. It pretty, does it go pretty far back?
Do you want me to tell you, or you just want to guess?
I'm trying to even think of the previous national champions.
Okay, let's think about this.
It's bizarre, because I remember hearing people talk about last year when Baylor lost in the second round, that there was like a crazy trend of defending champions losing in the second round the following year.
Is it 04? Is it 04 UConn?
No, it's Florida when they went back to back.
Oh.
Isn't that insane? Since before Bill won his first national champion, there hasn't been a single national champion play the next Elite Eight. Like, that's insane to me.
Sounds like a trend that needs to change.
Past the Sweet 16.
Yeah, they won it. Florida was the last team to win in the Sweet 16.
So we almost did it in 09. We almost did it in 09, which it's crazy. That's why
some almost, but and like half of them had lost in the first weekend, which is or like missed the tournament entirely.
That's why how amped should you be? That's like Brian, you asked to start the pod. Like, should you be all in, all pumped? Like, how hard is it to bring back a bunch of talent and put a good team on the floor after winning a national title? You lose so many draft picks. Like 2009, how many guys got drafted on that team? Obviously, Russ left. B Rush was gone. Sasha, Darnell, Shady, Mario Chalmers, all those dudes left and they made the Sweet 16. Like Bill Self has this team as one of the best teams in the country right now.
Yeah.
And I guess it's almost mid December. So everyone should be pumped. Like, cause if you win a title, like we've said, we could go 10 years without one and not be too upset because Bill's probably off the hook for a while now. Like, you just won a championship. And he brings back all this talent. We're one of the best teams in the country. Like,
I mean, think about like 09 North Carolina. They win the title. They lose everyone like we did in 08. They turn around in 2010, don't make the tournament.
Kentucky in 2012.
2012, Kentucky. They turn around. Like, Bill's ability to just, you know, I know it's cheesy and corny. We don't rebuild, we reload or whatever. But, like, it is crazy how he can just – the well-oiled machine, he's kept going. And, by the way, it makes me so mad. I think about this once maybe every 3 months that our AP Top 25 poll ranking thing isn't a streak anymore. Well, it's probably back up to one of the highest streaks. But, like, because of a COVID season where we lost – what did we lose four straight? And one of the games we would have won got canceled because of COVID. And so, yeah, we lost four straight, dropped out of the poll for a week, came back in the next. That's just my rant of the day. Anything? Yeah,
I knew we'd get you going on AP polls at some point today.
But, hey, I love the poll this week. Great work by the AP writers. I will make fun of them when they're wrong, and I will praise them when they're right. The Hawks are a top five team. They belong where they belong, and that's what I said last year.
Speaking of being on the top of the sport right now, Lenardi had us as a one seed today. His tweet thread, we talk about all the time how consistent Bill is and KU is, but just seeing it written down was bizarre to me. He said, "The defending national champions are doing what they always do. The Jayhawks have earned a number one seed in 10 of the last 16 seasons. If you include the COVID year, that's 11 of 17. And if they get one this year, that's 12 of the last 18. Imagine saying that your
power
team
five
gets a one seed 67% of the time.
That's what I'm saying. When Bill Self is gone, like, I don't think we are going to realize how absurd this was, truly. Because we felt those painful losses that feel like we choked. But, like, in the grand scheme of things, what he's done here is truly legendary GOAT type stuff. And if he gets another ring, then yeah, I think he's a top three coach, top five coach all time.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Don't you think winning that national title last year made a lot of our fans realize how spoiled we've been?
I would hope so.
I think it helped.
Finally getting that second one.
You got to get out of – I mean, Kevin Ollie has a national title. You can't be – Scott Drew has a national title. I mean, Scott Drew's a lot better than Kevin Ollie. But, like, you can't be in the same conversation as those guys. So it was huge for Bill's legacy. And, I mean, I think we'd always heard that that was something that motivated Bill. It was, you know – he really couldn't see himself leaving KU without hopefully getting that second natty. So it's huge. And now I think he's just playing with house money. If he gets a third, if Bill won a third, okay, I think this is a good transition. So Bill made some comments on pregame. Our guy Vernon was, you know, talking about it on Twitter. Made some comments that he said, and who knows, he might have just kind of been talking, you know, not really that locked in. But he said something like, I don't think I'm going to be doing this, or I think I'm only going to be doing this a few more
years.
There you go. Quotes AB. Let's hear it.
He said, I'm going to be doing this a few more years, but it won't be a ton. And then he went on to talk about like home and homes with blue bloods like Indiana, and hopefully like going to Cameron would be sick if they got Duke on a home and home.
Yeah, we've never
seen
that.
So what I was going to say is like, maybe it's not even this year, but like what if Bill wins one next year or the year after? I think it would be pretty sick if Bill just left after a title, didn't do a retirement tour, wins the natty, and like a week later is like, hey, I'm gone. And I don't know. My goal is I don't know. I hate the thought of thinking of Bill being gone. Like I can't.
Yeah.
It's a brutal thought. But if he could go out like that, I mean, think of the way Jay Wright went out pretty solid. He goes to a Final Four, but like, look at that team right now. They are a disaster. And that's like, to me, imagine being a Villanova fan. In March, you're sitting there thinking you've got one of the best coaches, the best. I mean, before we won the Natty last year, you could say Jay Wright was the best coach in college basketball. If you think you've got him 5-10 more years, and now you've got Fordham's head coach, you've got your 4-7 or whatever they are, and it's like, and I know they're battling injuries and stuff like that, but like Villanova, who knows? Villanova, they may not get back to where they were for a while. And I don't know, yeah, that could be an overreaction, but like that's a crazy fear. But if you do that, if Jay Wright wins the Natty last year and does that, it's a whole different story, I think. But getting blown out in the Final Four, then leaving just kind of sucks because Villanova, it's just been a brutal 8-month stretch or whatever it is now. So,
Boy, did it feel good to beat them, though, finally.
Yeah.
They got us in the Elite Eight and Final Four. But, yeah, my goal, or I guess my hope for Bill before the year, he wins the title. We talk about my hope was like 10 more years. He's 59, I think 60 coming up, but maybe coach around 70 and get one or two more. And that's probably asking a lot to get two, but one more, and he has three national titles total. Obviously, we just talked about it. That would mark him down as one of the GOATs. He already is to me, but I don't know. I was hoping for 10 more years maybe and coach till you're about 70 and then call it quits.
So tell me this. If Bill goes 10 more years, like at what point in that process, say in year 5, let's say he goes 7 more years. In year 4, is he saying, hey, Jeremy, don't take any jobs. Don't go coach Missouri State if they come calling. Wait, because we will prep you. Like, what are we going to end up going? It's crazy. We've joked about it, but like, in 7, 8, 9 years, is there a chance that if Bill's still here, that we've prepped Jeremy Case and he's now the John Shire and he's the head coach at Kansas? Like, we used to joke about it, but that seems to be the new trend in college hoops. And I know Villanova didn't quite do that, but they basically did that. He'd only been at Fordham for like a year or two or whatever, but I don't know. Is that a thing? Or let's say it happened in 5 years. I want Case to get more experience, but like, are you guys wanting to bring in a new style, a new coach, or would you be fine prepping Jeremy Case over like 5, 6, 7 years?
I mean, we've made fun of UNC and Duke kind of not having searches. They hired Hubert Davis right away, who was with Roy, and then Shire, who was on the bench, played for Coach K, which I don't know why you wouldn't have a search. That's such a, those are such prestigious jobs. Like who wouldn't want to go coach there? Like I remember UNC talking about maybe getting Chris Beard. I don't know if that would have been the greatest thing right now. I mean, it's crazy. Like KU, I would want us to have a search and at least look around and then, yeah, maybe Case. But KU, like basketball started here. Obviously the rules and stuff are here. Like there's such good tradition that you could get maybe an NBA coach or a, I don't know how old Jacques Vaughn, like a guy like that or Aaron Miles or something like, I don't know. Like, but also they are obsessed with Jeremy Case. Like
I know that's why I've started to like make my brain start to accept that he may be our next coach because people love him.
He's been great recruiting wise. They talk about how he's one of the most prepared, like well prepped assistants in the whole country. Like they love him. The stuff Bill Self said about him at the national or end of the season banquet, I guess, was kind of threw me away, like blew me back a little bit. Just the way he was talking about him, how high he praised him. So. Wouldn't be crazy to me. I thought it was wild at first. He was going to be our new assistant, but it's not that crazy now thinking about it. Like, yeah, we could have got an assistant probably from other schools in the country, but maybe there's a reason. Or there obviously was a reason he was our new assistant.
So, AB, what's your take on that? Because I got a name I want to throw your way if we don't hire Jeremy Case. I got a guy, and I think you're going to like him.
Woolridge?
I think I know who you're talking about. I've come around to the idea, to be honest, because and it's honestly happened in the last 5 minutes since you brought it up. But think about I was really not listening to you guys and having an inner monologue about Jeremy Case being the ninth head coach in KU history.
It's a wild thought, but it's not crazy.
Well, so here was my thought with it. When Bill goes, you have to assume Townsend goes, Norm goes, and probably Dooley goes too, I would think. Like, it almost feels like that's a big package deal and Case is the one young gun on the bench. I would think that you'd want to keep some continuity in the program, like somewhat. Like a lot of times assistants will stick around this and that, but I don't know. If you go out and hire this young superstar, he's probably going to want to bring his staff that he has with him and maybe Case hangs on as an assistant, but it's like, what does Nate Oates know about KU basketball that he's going to come out and just dominate right away? It's a very risk, like, sometimes you have to take the risk. That's how we get Bill Self. That's how we, you know, get Roy Williams. That was a huge risk back in the day. We weren't alive, but it was. And if you hit, it's awesome. We've been really good at hitting them the entire time KU basketball's been a thing.
That's what scares me.
But, like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to sound cultish or anything, but, like, I'd think that you'd want to keep someone in the building that's been around and knows what's going on, knows
the road. That's what's weird is, like, I know we didn't do that with Roy, but by the time Bill leaves, he will have been here quite a bit longer than Roy was. Like, and so Bill has now become, like, the way Dean Smith was North Carolina basketball, the way that Roy Williams then stepped in, like, you take away that stretch with Doherty and whatever, but then Roy just stepped in and kept Dean Smith's systems going and wrote it out. And, like, Georgetown did that with John Thompson and his son, and you know it obviously kind of sputtered out, and now Patrick Ewing's the worst coach in Division I basketball, but they've tried to keep it going. And now Duke's trying the same thing, and it's like I agree with you. Like, do you just want to take this system that Bill has built, this culture that Bill has built, and throw it all away? And the name I was going to throw out was Tommy Lloyd, because
sick.
You pull him from Arizona, I would take that, but that's if something happened. I thought you were going to say Tony Bennett. No, God,
that's your guy.
Oh, Bill was slow as shit.
Yeah, but like, it is like to me. And we make fun of North Carolina, and I do think Hubert Davis he's the nicest guy in the world. So I hate bashing him, but like, I'm not convinced he's that good of a coach. John Shire, jury is still very much out, but I think he'll probably work out. I think Duke's the system. Duke is just the. Everything going with Duke's just going to keep working. They're going to – the funnel is working. And I do think if as long as Bill doesn't leave here in 3-4 years, if you have Jeremy Case with 9 years under his belt as the coach, assistant coach of this program, you could certainly talk me into him being our next coach. And it'll be interesting to hear what listeners, like, say to this. Are we going to get tweets like, you guys are crazy. We need to hire Brad Stevens. I don't know. I mean, there's going to be tweets like that.
Nate Oates.
I do think if it was like next year, 2 years, I want Tommy Lloyd, but he, I mean, Arizona's pretty good job. So,
dude, it's when you brought up Hubert Davis, it's wild thinking that dude almost won a national title year one. Can you imagine Hubert Davis year one at UNC wins a title? Like, he wouldn't have to win another one for.
The thing is, like, they're on their way to being like a 5, 6, 7 seed this year. Now I think they'll continue to improve.
They were in the 8-9 game last year.
Like, he had a really good NCAA tournament, but he also has now coached a season and a half of regular season hoops and has stunk a lot outside of a road win at Cameron. And, like, I don't know. So I'm still very skeptical on Hubert Davis, but the point still stands. Like, it is fun. If you're a North Carolina fan, your system just hasn't changed. The coach has changed, but you still just run the same stuff. And I would love to see us running, you know, those Bill Self inbounds plays and the weave, the, like, I don't know, just all those things we run over and over again. To think about seeing that for the next 20 years is pretty cool to think about. So
yeah,
I'm hearing rumors that we're going to go to the high school ranks and hire Sherron Collins and Tyshawn Taylor to come coach the team.
I don't know about that.
I was just going to say, like, if I had to guess or if I had to put some money down, I would absolutely say Case would be our next coach. And he played for Bill forever, knows the system, knows their tradition. Like, it would he's been a great recruiter. Like, he would be awesome recruiter for us. He has that energy. He's well prepared. Like you said, he knows the system, knows the tradition. Like, it'd be easy to go in a kid's house and recruit him to KU if you're Jeremy Case. Like, you've been here, you know what it's all about, you know the game day experience, all that stuff. So I think it'd be awesome to keep him around for a long time, and it sounds like he's one hell of an assistant, and Bill Self trusts him a ton.
I just want to go back to 5 minutes ago when you guys laughed at me for saying that in the 5 minutes you guys spent talking about it, I talked myself into Jeremy Case coaching, and now in the 5 minutes that we've all been talking about it, you guys also sound like you're in on Jeremy Case.
So, well, I said at the beginning that it depends on the timeline. If Bill Self retires in 2-3 years, I don't want Jeremy Case. I don't think he's been around long enough to be a head coach yet. But if it's 7, 8, 9 years from now, then he's got almost 10 years under his belt, and I could fully be bought in on that. But yeah, I think this conversation did help me kind of think through, like, how fun it would be to just continue the same systems and style, and it would evolve, obviously, but to switch to like a Nate Oates where we just start launching threes and have no defensive discipline,
so fun.
It would be fun, but it would also, like, be really frustrating at times because that's a whole different style of basketball, and we are so accustomed to this just ultra disciplined, you know, executing at the highest level in big moments, and then to go to that where it's just like, all right, launch a three with 30 on the shot clock or 25 on the shot clock and go play half-ass D. But Alabama's good.
Feels like we haven't seen a coaching search at a big program for a while now. Maybe I'm wrong there, but it would be fun to see the names that would pop up here. Like, I'm just thinking about UNC Duke. Like, what were the names that would have popped up for those two jobs?
Well, UNC was basically between Wes Miller, who's at Cincinnati now, and Hubert Davis, and Roy – hardcore, which sucks for Wes Miller. Roy was like, I want Hubert. And Roy, I mean, he didn't hand pick him, but he made it very clear that's who he wanted. So they did a kind of a search, but it was basically just between two UNC guys. Duke, like, did not do a search. They named John Shire the day Coach K retired. Nova didn't do a search. They named Kyle Neptune or whatever the day Jay Wright retired. So who... I mean,
it's always tough talking about future coaches, though, because say this happens in 5 years to make it like an even easy number. Yeah. 5 years ago, I thought Mike White was going to be in the Ring of Honor at Allen Fieldhouse for being the winningest coach in KU history. And now I don't even know if he has a job anymore.
He's the coach at Georgia.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he made that.
He just hopped from Florida to Georgia.
That's why, like, say Bill did hang it up in 2 to 3 years, like, who do you guys think the names would be that would pop up, or if they did do a search and didn't just name Case?
I've got
it
one.
It would be Tommy Lloyd. go ahead, him. AB.
What about one John Calipari?
Oh,
But just hear me out though.
I wouldn't hate. I would not hate it.
I wouldn't hate it. And it feels like it actually happens in 2 years. Like he and Kentucky hate each other right now. It's in terms of like the fan base. Like they want him gone immediately. But if he lasts this year and next year, and then Bill's like, "All right, I'm done. Do we sign up for 10 years of Cal?"
I'm trying to think of like, it's kind of like when, God, why am I blanking? It's who? Okay, let's take a quick break, and I'm gonna think about who I was trying to come up with, and we'll be right back. Dude, who was I thinking of? Who's a coach that just left the program? My brain is blank, and then went to Rick Barnes. Okay, we'll come back to that.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
All right, we're back. So the name, we're talking coaches, we're talking coaching changes. AB just threw out a wild one that I think people are going to be, it's going to be controversial. But if Bill Self retires in 2 years,
I can't believe he said that.
And Calipari in Kentucky continue to fight. But, you know, it's like this was the name I was thinking of. Rick Barnes in Texas had just kind of become a stale relationship. Rick Barnes is a good coach. Everyone knew it, but it just wasn't working anymore in Texas. The dynamic wasn't there. He gets back on the market, goes to Tennessee, and he just has been great ever since he got to Tennessee. And, like, listen, we like to make fun of Calipari, and I do think Calipari, when I talk about how Bill has evolved, I think Calipari at some point just got so stuck in his ways and is not as great of a coach. But it is wild to think if Calipari went to KU, I do think like there would be like a 5-7 just resurgence of Calipari where we go on a tear and he just goes out with an incredible end to his career. But
so the problem is,
didn't see us going here.
I didn't know he was 4 years older than Bill.
He's old, yeah.
So I mean, if it was 2 years from now, he'd be 65 and we'd hire him. That wouldn't make a whole lot of sense.
By the way, his contract has it like written in that he will be like the special assistant to the athletic director when he retires. So like if he gets fired, it's a disaster because they made his contract not planning that at all.
When you brought up AB bringing up a controversial name, I thought you were talking about Jarrett's. Didn't you say Jarrett's?
Well, so he was talking about like,
can you imagine?
He said Texas, and for some reason I thought like he hopped from KU to Texas just randomly. I don't know.
And got fired as an assistant coach and then brought on.
About Shaka Smart, him, Marquette, you know, fun, I guess.
Rick Barnes is like 68. So,
yeah,
I don't know how much longer he would coach, but I wanted to talk like alumni, former KU players or people that are associated with KU. Well, obviously, Calipari is, but I was just looking up Jacques Vaughn, obviously NBA coach. He's only 47.
Yeah, I think he'd get
played late at 90s. Yeah.
Is Aaron Miles still coaching the G League?
I believe so. I saw him last year with Golden State.
So, like, if he could get on and get a job somewhere, then, you know, I think he makes the list. But, I mean,
Case is here now. Like, Case is here now every day around the team, probably getting molded by Bill Self, knows the sets, like,
if we're Miles hiring a guy played. Like that, it's going to be Case. And so the names I'm thinking of now are like, who are the names that aren't alumni? Who are the names Travis Goff sits down and says, okay, we can go with the safe kind of, I don't know, not flashy pick in Jeremy Case, or I think the list would be Lloyd, Nate Oates.
Isn't Lloyd pretty old too, though?
I think he's only 50. God. I've looked it up. 49.
He looks.
I think
you love him. I'm sure you did look it up.
They're so fun to watch, man.
God, who? I mean, I don't even know if Tony Bennett's a Nate. 48. See, I know my Tommy Lloyd.
wow.
Which, by the way, last year I did tomorrow. A podcast where I kept calling him Tommy Floyd because I mixed him up with Tim Floyd. So,
fire him.
Learned. But I mean, like Tony Bennett, I feel like that ship sailed. Tony Bennett's a Virginia guy. He'll have a statue. The court's going to be named after him. He's not leaving Virginia. I as much as we joke, it's not going to be Calipari.
I don't think I'd be happy with Cal.
Jay Wright comes out of retirement.
I don't think I'd be happy with Cal at all. I wouldn't like melt down, but I wouldn't be thrilled. He just doesn't. I don't even think he's really even a top five coach in college basketball. Like people used to consider him top three, and it felt like just. I mean, obviously they made some Final Fours, won it in 2012, but from a recruiting standpoint, he would bring a ton of talent here. But it just, I don't know. We have such tradition and stuff like that that it feels like it would just be a bunch of one and dones and a bunch of guys you can't really fall in love with. I don't know.
It would be weird.
So he went from Cal went from the most annoying but also underrated coach in America to like the most annoying and overrated coach in America now. Like there were times where we would give him all the shit in the world. And in between 2012 and 2015 or 16, they went to like three Final Fours, four Final Fours, something crazy like that. Yeah. Harrison Twins, they won it with AD.
I mean, and the big thing about Calipari is in Kentucky, I don't know if people would disagree with this, but like Nike just flat out started sending recruits to Duke instead of Kentucky. Like Duke started getting Zion and RJ Barrett, and Kentucky started getting like the 9th and 10th best player in the class instead of the number 1 and 2. Like, I think that we try to like dissect what Calipari has become, but like that really is a major part of it. Recruits just all of a sudden started all going to Duke instead of Kentucky, and
things that make you go,
kind of funny how you say Nike sent them there when they obviously wanted to go there to play for a rich tradition program and a brotherhood.
Hey, but allegation going to become. You know who's going to become a sneaky big name? Sean Miller, innocent, did nothing wrong. And he had a wagon going at Arizona. So
imagine his sweat ass on the sidelines. Just
I hate him.
So, like, B-turn, who do you have besides Lloyd, Oates?
I'm sitting here trying to think. I mean, like, obviously.
Would you agree Tony Bennett's off? Like, we're not hiring Tony Bennett.
You guys are missing the obvious one, boys. Come on.
I know. I can't even think of many names right now. Like, I'm trying to, like, Brad Stevens popped in my head, but he's not even a coach right now. I'm trying to think maybe, like, a NBA coach that gets
Billy
fired.
Billy Donovan, maybe? Is it Billy Donovan?
But I loved watching you for the last 30 seconds trying to figure it out. Mike Boynton? Are you guys kidding?
Oh,
Mike Boynton.
God,
the way he stands up for his kids. Oh, man.
Listen,
bring him 4 hours north.
He's going to be fantastic at a job in the future.
Drexel.
But that job's going to be on FS1 as a college basketball analyst. So,
who are some mid-major coaches that maybe are slept on?
Billy Gillespie.
Rick Pitino?
Billy Gillespie, Rick Pitino. Rick Pitino just, I mean, he's got to go to Louisville.
Mark
I guess Louisville's won two straight. Mark Few. Dan Hurley at UConn.
Kelvin Sampson.
He's old. He's really old. I think Kelvin Sampson's like mid-60s.
Boy, he's a psycho.
No offense.
Also, they were on
65 and up listeners out there.
They were on TV the other, I think it was them, and they were showing like the best winning percentages since 2016, and KU is had the highest winning percentage for any Power Five in the country since 2016. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's
Bill crazy. Self.
And that include it's nuts. Okay, so we spent a lot more time on coaching
search.
So, man, is that
won't happen
topic.
For years?
That is a fun topic.
I think we started the conversation off with we hate coaching search talk years in advance because Mike White's so bad now.
Yeah.
And we talked about every coach on the radar, and I loved every second of it.
I mean,
there was a great pod to replay in 5 years when Bill does retire, and it's like Tommy Lloyd. Well, he got arrested.
It's like when we're talking about potential lineups in June, and then it comes out second game of conference, and three of the guys we had starting are already in the transfer portal.
Zach Clements is starting for sure. He's our guy.
Zach Clements might be all Big 12.
Yeah. So, Okay, moving on. So I presented a question to you guys before we start recording, because I'll be honest. So I pull into Lawrence on Saturday, and there's Indiana fans everywhere. They've got their cool pants, which I tweeted. I love the pants. I'm jealous. Thing about Indiana fans, they wear, like, you don't just see an Indiana fan wearing a KU quarter zip or an Indiana quarter zip and jeans. Those guys are wearing wacky pants, wacky shirts, goofy hats. I saw a guy in a full suit. Like, none of them dress normal. And I was kind of thinking, like, man, Indiana fans seem fun. And the guy in front of me, bless his heart, he was a diehard Indiana fan. He was so invested in this game, and he was gutted the entire time.
Calling all every the players bucket. By their first name.
Oh, yeah. He was texting. Come on, like, I was reading over his shoulder, and he's, like, texting, calling him, you know, Xavier Johnson. He's calling him X. At one point, he tweeted, like, we're scared to death, which I loved. I wanted to be like, yeah, you are. He was like, we're scared to death. We won't even shoot. They were. But so it got me thinking, like, Indiana fans are so passionate, and they showed out, and it was very impressive. And it was even more impressive that we were able to completely just shut them up. They did not get the cheer at all. And I was legitimately worried with, you know, students didn't show up very well. I know it was Christmas break, and I don't know, whatever. Don't want to get into that. I think
it was the first time Christmas break that. Was a thing at KU all in history.
But,
yeah,
it did feel like a game. If Indiana got out to like an 8-0, 8-2 lead, like, that was a game where all of a sudden the Indiana crowd was going to be a true factor. And instead it was the complete opposite, and they weren't a thing. So all that to say, I was sitting there thinking about that game. I think Indiana fans are awesome. They seem fun. They were good sports, I felt like. They weren't really, like, you know, being like when Kentucky fans come down on field house, there's a lot of tools. If you had to, like, reverse your life and you're born again, but you're just born into your same human you are now, but you're just born into a different family that cheers for a different school, if you had to choose one, and not necessarily based on success, but just, like, who do you want to be a fan of outside of Kansas? And I'll be honest, I think if you just told me hand pick, I'm not sure I'm not picking KU. Like, I don't know. No, like, so what I'm saying, obviously in this one, you can't pick KU, but let's say the question remains the same. If you just get to pick when you're born, who you get to cheer for based on what we've seen in our life, is KU the pick or is it Duke? I don't know. So whatever. I went off on the wrong route there. I want to know.
I don't think any of us can say other than KU.
Okay, so can't pick KU now. If you had to pick another school, who is it?
I will say, and I don't think it has anything to do with fan base because I don't really know much about their fans, but ever since I was a kid, I'm not a fan of this team, but I've always kind of liked North Carolina. Like the colors, the baby blue. Obviously, I'm a diehard MJ fan. And also, I don't know how much this should factor in my decision, but UNC, I just have never had a reason to hate UNC. They've never broken my heart in the tournament. We've beat them in big games, obviously, recently, 08. We beat them in 2013, just beat them in a national championship game. So UNC's never bothered me. I've always randomly kind of liked them. I've always liked their style of play. They play quick. And obviously, Michael Jordan, the GOAT, better than LeBron. I've never had a problem with them, and I could never, ever, 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 ever say Duke or Kentucky. I cannot stand either.
But you got to remember, your brain does not know that you love KU.
But
you,
I can't do that. Like, I can't get myself to that.
I think North Carolina is a really good answer because, like you said, KU and North Carolina are kind of like brothers in a way. Like, we don't hate each other. We've got a lot of connections, and we've both just been really solid and – so I think that's a good answer. AB, do you have one?
I don't feel super strong about it, but Arizona would be pretty sick, honestly.
I thought about
all
that.
Things considered, like, they're probably a step below KU, Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina, like the true blue bloods, but they're always fucking good. They're about to dominate the Pac-12 like no one's ever seen once UCLA and USC leave. They've always got the talent. They play fun brands of basketball. They're fans care way too much, just like us. Like, it feels like a pretty seamless transition of they're good enough to win a national championship most years, but they always seem to fall short. And I've liked my experience as a KU fan, so I'll just run it back with Arizona and hope they get one in, like, the next 20 years.
Okay.
Specifically this year.
They were on my list.
16-1 is in the is in the pending bets right now.
Yes.
Maui Bomb.
They were on my list, but I really do, and it's crazy, but I really do think it's Indiana. I really think.
I swear I was going to say Duke.
No, God, no.
That, well, you don't know I that mean, you hate them, Ryan.
I like to picture
Duke
my,
over them.
My young self looking at Duke and being like, those are corn balls, cheese balls, whatever you want to call it. Those guys are the corniest people on earth. I want no part of that. I like to believe I would think that. But Indiana was just, I don't know. In it, they are miserable. Like I said, the guy in front of me is, he was going through it. Like, you could tell the pain he had been through. But the part that I was, like, sitting there thinking, like, man, when Indiana does get back to a Final Four or a national title, these fans are going to be nuts, and they're going to be so excited. So it's kind of like that feeling of the chase that I think would be exciting. Kind of like the – not that Indiana's KU football, but, like, the route back to where you came from is something that's fun. So I don't know, Indiana. I just like I've been at NCAA tournament games where their crowd's there. I've always liked their crowd. I don't know why it is, but so it's Arizona's a good answer though, because then I could just, you know, Tommy Lloyd's my head coach.
I got a question for you. You kind of answered this, but would it have been Indiana before Saturday, or did their crowd kind of do something to you on Saturday?
I've always kind of thought I love their Assembly Hall is a cool, unique building. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of Allen Fieldhouse in a way.
Let's go next year.
We should. I'm down. And I don't know. I've just always thought they were kind of cool. They just can't hire a good coach. Simple as that. They can't do it. But I imagine that building is absolutely electric when it's, you know, like even just how it was against North Carolina a few weeks ago. It was nonstop. Just they were intense from tip to finish. So, I don't know.
Indiana experience for me was when we actually played Kevin Ollie in UConn in the second round. I think in Iowa, and they played against, I think it was Kentucky, right?
They beat Kentucky. Yeah.
And there, that crowd was so good. Like,
exactly.
That's honestly stuck with me since I went to that. That was 2016. And that crowd stuck with me. Like, their fans were after big runs and timeouts, like the way their fan base erupted and things like that. Yeah.
And
it was
Kentucky
crazy.
Showed out really well too. And like, it felt like Indiana outdid them, and Kentucky always gets the reputation of being the best travelers. But like, that Indiana crowd showed up, and it probably helped that like we were probably in the building hardcore cheering for Indiana because we hated Kentucky. But yeah, that was the first time I was like, whoa, Indiana fans are kind of cool. And it probably helped that we saw them beat Kentucky. But
yeah, because they definitely had our crowds behind them. That was the time, where I was just a hardcore cheer against Kentucky in the tournament once we lost, which kind of sounds sad and pathetic. But when they lost to Wisconsin in the Final Four, I mean, that was like a celebration for me.
That was different.
They were undefeated.
Can we talk about how I almost wish Kentucky would have just won that title instead of Duke? Like, that worked out. It was like a classic careful what you wish for type deal.
Man, that was annoying that Duke won that game. It felt like Wisconsin going into that night, especially it didn't feel like Duke played that well. And then little Grayson Allen, the flopper tripper guy, kind of went off. Like, only game he went off that entire year.
Yeah, brutal.
who are some other schools that kind of, you obviously came up with this question, Rye, but who are some other schools that kind of popped in your head or maybe would be other options? Obviously you too, AB. I thought about Arizona when you asked earlier, just because, great program. They haven't got over the hump in a long time. When's the last time they even played in a Final Four?
It's been a really long time. Lute Olson in like 02, I think, or 01.
They made a ton of Elite Eights, it felt like.
They blew that Elite Eight game in 05 against Illinois. You know, I mean, sneaky.
They also have, like, sick uniforms to me, too. Their color scheme's really cool.
Their color scheme's fantastic. I mean, Salim Stoudemire, remember when he came in outfield?
They only have four Final Fours total.
That's crazy.
2001, they lost in the national championship game.
Yeah.
Last Final Four to Duke.
I think another sneaky – I mean, it's a lame answer, but, like – Gonzaga would be kind of fun, even though they've dealt with a lot of heartbreak, but you win 30 plus games a year and you just kind of watch your team smoke teams.
I got one.
They can, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were done. You can finish up.
No, go ahead.
Not Virginia. I was going to say Michigan. I know I'm a Michigan football guy, but like, they're pretty damn good in basketball most years. Like, Juwan seems sick. their fans seem to care about it. And I don't know, this question seems more college basketball related, but like, you might become a Michigan football fan as well, and they're in the playoffs back to back year, and they're good most of the time. So, like, that just,
with that said, I'll take it
Alabama. Seems consistent enough, and they won a championship within the last 10 years. No, they,
you know, who I would have maybe said 5 years ago, like 5-6 years ago, Louisville. I used to always like Louisville teams a lot.
Yeah.
And Kevin Ware's leg came out of his skin. And
remember the Peyton Siva, Russ Smith teams.
Yeah. Well, that championship didn't happen. People forget that.
That's why I thought Michigan won it.
Indiana, just to me, obviously they used to have Bob Knight. They used to win all the time, but they've never been like a, I guess, a blue blood or anything to me. Like, I've never seen them be really good, you know?
That's what's weird. In our, I mean, like, my dad, Indiana was like the school when he was coming, like when he was a kid. Like, he remembers all those classic Indiana teams, and I'm like, I don't even remember Indiana being good. They had that random team in 02 that went to the title game that beat like Jay Williams and Duke, but they have been so irrelevant ever since. And so I don't know. It, I feel kind of bad for him because we're one coach, we're one or two bad coaching hires away. You can become an Indiana really fast. One can last I, team I want to throw out is UConn. And, I mean, is UConn an option? They seem kind of lame.
I like UConn. Boy,
they've won a lot of titles, and you want to talk about good color scheme. UConn, they got nice uniforms.
And just a bunch of studs went there.
Yeah.
Like, thinking back to their guys back in the day, like Rip Hamilton, Ray Allen, Emeka Okafor.
Charlie
Villanueva.
By the way, he was going to come to Kansas, but there was a tornado the weekend he came, and he was like, no, thank you.
That is a good one. They always are rocking Jordans and stuff, too. And, yeah, I love their uniforms and stuff like that. And you would – I've honestly always been a UConn women's fan.
Wow.
Gino's got it rolling per usual.
So that's been my team since I was a kid. So
bandwagoner. I'm just picturing Vitor and being like, I got UConn again this year. I like this team. I really do. I don't know what it is, but I like them winning it this year. Oh. All right, boys.
That's fun. That was a fun. We somehow spent the whole episode talking about our Kansas's future college basketball coach when Bill Self leaves and what team we would cheer for if we couldn't. And AV's face when Ryan said KU was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
No, do you not see what I was saying? Like, I was saying if KU was part, if you had the option, so if you are reborn and
you could pick anyone,
like KU is sitting there and you're examining the resumes and you can say, okay, well, UConn has the most titles, but they've had a lot of bad years since we were born. And Duke, yeah, they've been great, but they're cheese balls. They're the worst. And then Kentucky, you know, they've had bad years. They had the Gillespie era. And then you get to Kansas, you're like, well, they've got, you know, they've been to a lot of Final Fours since we were born. They've won two natties. They've got the most wins. Then you're kind of saying they got the best crowd. My point was, you could easily sit down, look at everyone, and pick KU.
I agree.
Just brought up a really bad time to say that after I said to not pick KU.
I just, when you came to picking your team and you before you said Indiana, I swore you were going to say Duke, and I was going to laugh so hard.
No, I can't. That team is so cheesy, man. I just can't do it. All right. Well, this was fun, boys. It was.
I like those three answers.
Yeah, those were good answers. And felt like we got back to our roots where we just, you know, talk about random hypotheticals and things that mean absolutely nothing. But it's fun to argue. And I'll be curious. If you're listening, comment in the YouTube, tweet us. If you had to cheer for another program that couldn't be KU, you restart your life. Who are you picking? And also, who's going to be the next head coach at Kansas?
Why is it Tarleton State?
Yeah. All right, boys. I think that's it. I think we're going to try and be back next week with hopefully an interview to talk KU football, talk bowl game, because that's coming up. Next, we're like almost a week away. So that's wild to think about. But that's it. Thank you for listening. Merry Christmas. And
Happy New Year.
Rock chalk. Beat Harvard.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all six of our channels at KCSN, covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current. plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.